This is the May 29th, 2025 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 532 for property ID 16000200. The property is owned by AG Residential JV LLC. Board members present by video conference are Terry Hagberg, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. For the assessor's office, we have present Todd Hawes and Carrie Dudley. And then for the appellant, we have Greg LeBlanc. If you could all three please raise your right hands now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury? Todd, raise your right hand, please. Thank you.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2024. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. And unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you, Mr. LeBlanc, to further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to share my screen if that's okay.
Yep.
Okay, so you should be seeing our page one of our evidence. Mm-hmm. So this is the Autumn Grove Apartments, located off 54th Street, just north of the Vancouver Mall. These are newer apartments built in 2021, 148 units total, average unit size 905 square feet. They have a mix of one and two bedroom units, and about 76% of the units are two bedroom, two baths. They've been built up with typical unit features and amenities of newer complexes. They include microwave, hoods and dishwashers, quartz counters, stainless steel sinks, washer dryers. Amenities include a clubhouse, fitness center, playground, seasonal outdoor pool, a sport court, 16 storage units, 58 carports, and 12 garages. As of the January 1, 2024 valuation date, the apartments were just about 88% occupied. So here is a map showing where the subject is located in Vancouver. Here's a little more detail or closer aerial showing that's just north of the Vancouver Mall. So some things to discuss. So our difference in value is about $4.8 million. Some things to discuss include we have a somewhat recent sale of the subject. And then after that, we have the larger things that are impacting the market, including a significant increase in interest rates and slowing rent growth and increasing capitalization rates. So to start with the sale of the subject, the subject was purchased by the current owner on June 11, 2021 for $39,500,000 or about $267,000 per unit. We've attached the affidavit as Exhibit 1. So this was an openly marketed sale, had an asking price of $41.4 million. Again, it sold for $39.5 in June of 2021. The computed capitalization rate on that sale was about 4.7%. Since then, however, we saw that interest rates started to increase significantly starting in January of 2022. As Exhibit 3, we've included this. This is just kind of the primary chart here. But it shows, it compares the 10-year treasury and the bond rate, and you can see in January 2022, the 10-year treasury was at 1.76 and the prime was at 3.26. January of 23, that rate had doubled to 3.5 for the 10-year treasury and more than doubled to 7.5 for the prime. Since then, they've continued to go up. In January 24, they're at 4% for the 10-year treasury and 8.5 for the prime. So this has had a pretty significant impact on valuation. And obviously, if it costs you more to finance and more of the money you collect on an income-producing property is going towards your mortgage payment, that the value is going to go down. So what else has happened in the market? It's not any good news either on terms of vacancy and rent growth. So we see that that we had some pretty significant rent growth through 21 and into mid 2022. But after that, it started to tail off and go down slightly. So not only are we dealing with higher interest rates, now we've got lower rents that we're able to obtain. We also have increasing vacancy. That vacancy was 4.2% in 2022, and then by 2023 it was at 8.2% for the Vancouver multifamily market. These charts are from CoStar, and they track the Vancouver multifamily market. So this is specific to Vancouver, these figures. Not coincidentally, if we look at what's happened in the market in terms of investment activity, we can see that the values peaked in mid-2022. So the blue line, again, this is from CoStar, and this is tracking sales of multifamily properties in Vancouver, in the Vancouver market. So you see the blue line being the average price per unit. And the green line is for the Portland market overall. So the blue line is what we're interested in. So that peaked in the second quarter of 2022. Then once the higher interest rates set in, then the values just started to decrease from there. Here's Q2 of 2021 when our property sold. You can see that had an average sale price of 200. The larger market had a sale of average sale price of almost 260,000 per unit. And then it peaked at 282,000 per unit. And then going to the first quarter of 2024, we see that that value is down to 244,000 per unit. So the value is now lower in January of 24 than where it was in June of 21 when our property sold to the current owner. Also, we can see the impact of the financing rates on the investment activity. The bar charts represent cumulative sales of multifamily properties in Vancouver. You can see that from the latter half of 21 through the first two quarters of 22, there was over $1 billion in investment activity in the Vancouver market. After that, interest rates started to dramatically increase. That investment activity really dropped off because it takes time. The market's resetting. Buyers and sellers have to come to a meeting of the minds. Sellers mostly have to come to grips with, 6 months ago, I was getting 300,000 a unit, and now you're telling me it's 240,000 a unit. So that might be a hard pill to swallow, and that probably, if you don't have to sell, you're probably not looking to sell in a declining market. And so that's why we have the lower sales activity. But now it seems that sales activity is picking up as people have come to grips with the current investment environment. Now what's happened? So really, you can see from the peak of the market down to where we are now that the values have gone down by over 13%. So that's pretty significant decline. Capitalization rates, again, this is from CoStar, and this is for the Vancouver multifamily market. And you can see that the impact, you know, here we are in early 2022. Now they've started to increase interest rates, and what's happened in the cap rates have also started to increase, and those cap rates have started to increase, and they've continued to increase. So by January 2024, it looks like, you know, cap rates are ranging anywhere from 5.2 to 5.5 for the Vancouver market. This is just for the CoStar data. Also, we've included as Exhibit 4 from the CBRE data. And CBRE does a cap rate survey twice a year. So their second half 2023 cap rate survey indicates that cap rates for suburban Portland market, which includes Vancouver, range between 5.5% and 6% for Class A stabilized apartments. And there's lots of good information in that cap rate survey, but basically stating that there's expectation that cap rates are going to continue to increase. So for our analysis, we projected a cap rate of 5.5% before the tax load. Our income approach is shown here, and our conclusions are over on the right-hand column shaded in blue. And I think for most intents and purposes here, our conclusions are higher than what the assessor has projected in their income approach. But we are basing our analysis with a lot on the history of the property. So we've got 2 years of actuals for 2022 and 2023. This is a new property, and we can see that NOI before taxes was 2.2 million in 2022, and 23 dropped down to 2.1 million, and we're projecting it at 2.3 million. So our NOI before taxes is 2.3 million. We're using that base cap rate of 5.5%. And since we have not deducted taxes, we are including the tax load. And so we've got a loaded cap rate of 6.44%. And that indicates a value of $36,831,000 and about $248,000 per unit. There's an RCW that discusses a prior sale of a property within 5 years of the valuation date, and that greater weight should be put on that. However, the sale should be adjusted for market conditions. And so again, we had that sale in June of 21. So if we adjust that sale, we see that the basically, if we make the adjustment based on what we see here for CoStar, I think we have about a 5 or 6% decline in value from June of 21 to January of 2024. So if we make that adjustment, we get an adjusted value of $37,161,000, and that's pretty close to our requested value of high $36 million. Also, we have some comparable sales. We've got four or five comparable sales, and the sales range between $218,000 per unit and $265,000 per unit, and average $237,000 per unit. I believe that at least two of these sales are same sales that that the assessor also used, and we have the sales occurring in January of 24. We've got two newer ones in March of 24. And we've got a May of 22 sale, or excuse me, two May of 22 sales. And actually, we have six sales in an October of 21 sale. So I believe sales five and six are located pretty close to the subject. That's correct. And the other sales are located around, but they're, with the exception of one of the sales, they're all newer garden style complexes built between 2016 and 2023. We included sale three, which was built in 1989. However, we included it because they reported that all the units have been updated to stainless steel appliances and whatnot. So it's been renovated. It also has a significantly larger average unit size at over 1,000 square feet. With that, we believe that we're well supported with our requested value at around $250,000 per unit. So again, just to wrap up, we have deteriorating market fundamentals that includes slowing rent growth, the negative rent growth, increasing vacancy. We also have the increase in financing rates. We have increasing cap rates, and that has lowered values for multifamily properties. We also have the sale of the subject, and if we do a market conditions adjustment on our purchase from June of 2021, we get a value pretty similar to our requested value. With that, happy to answer any questions, or we can let the assessor present.
I have no questions at this time.
Nor do I. No additional questions at this point.
Let's hear from the assessor's office.
Okay. Hi, my name is Todd, and I'm I'm the new assessor at the office. So I'm going to try to share my screen. So I apologize if I don't get it right the first time.
You're the new assessor? Did you replace
Peter? Did I replace Peter?
You're the new appraiser.
No, I'm the new appraiser. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm new and improved, I guess. I don't know. Cancel. This is it. I hope that's it.
Something's there.
Yeah, all right. Bear with me. Okay, so this is our assessor report that we put together, and as I scroll down here, it's going to show a lot of the similar information that was already presented, a location, some photos. There's really no argument there about the property's what its condition or quality or anything, its location. So what we'll do is just go straight down to the market analysis section, and you'll see that as you go through the CBRE advisors here, they're talking about construction slowing, and then we go in the multifamily market. We're going to show a lot of the same softening that the market is showing with potential higher cap rates, higher vacancy rates. You'll see higher vacancy rates right here. Market rents plateauing a little bit, and then we go into sales volume also declining, and then finally we get into cap rates, and this is the same chart that was in that was previously presented. And the one thing about, you look at this chart here, is that you got to understand this is every single property that's been sold in the metro area. And if you want to look specifically, dive a little deeper, our property is a 4 to 5 star property. And so that's going to land somewhere around 5.2% for an overall cap rate. And these are overall cap rates. They include property taxes. CoStar doesn't provide property taxes or cap rates that are unloaded or unloaded cap rates. These are all loaded cap rates. So they will include the property taxes. And so I just want to keep that in mind when we go down to the...
You stated that these were loaded cap rates that are reported by CoStar?
Correct.
That's not correct. They're unloaded. If they were loaded, that would mean they would include a the local jurisdiction's tax rate. That's not correct.
These cap rates include the property taxes in the expenses when they develop the cap rate.
That's correct, but it's not. They don't include the tax load, which is what I've presented and what you've presented. So it's a little misleading.
I think it is a little misleading, Greg, and the reason is the assessor's office is the only one who would ever use a loaded or unloaded cap rate. In the market, they would never load a cap rate. They would include the property taxes in their expenses, which we don't do in the assessor's office, and that's why we load the cap rate. So essentially, these cap rates are market cap rates that would include property taxes in the expenses. So yes. When we're talking loaded and unloaded, these are reflecting property taxes that are already being included in the expenses, so you wouldn't load them again with the tax rate.
That's correct. I just wanted to make sure that was clear, so we weren't talking an apple.
So these cap rates should not have a tax rate then loaded back into them because the taxes are already being accounted for in the expenses.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Maybe I didn't come across as well as I would have liked. And so this is the same chart that was presented earlier. It's still next information we have here. It still shows that Vancouver, Seattle are still strong markets relative to other markets on the West Coast. And then we go to our valuation analysis. We'll see our income approach. And these are the rents that we use. We use market-derived rents. We asked for financials from the property a couple times and a rent roll and historic income and expenses, and they were not provided. So we had to extract these rents from the market. And we come down, we applied a 30% expense ratio. This excludes property taxes. And then we've got an NOI of $2,083,536. And ultimately, this is not too much different than what was presented earlier. However, the big difference here is going to be in the cap rates used. Our overall cap rate is 5%. That includes the loading factor of the property taxes. And applying that cap rate to our NOI, we get a value of $41,650,000 roughly, which is near what our assessed value is. If we go down to the sales comparison approach, we use three sales, again, two of them which were already presented. And we use the average of the comparable sales. You'll find down here in this section right here, indicated values we have. And this $33 million is kind of an outlier, so it was excluded. So we used the other three indicated values to come up with the sales approach value of around $41,780,000. And together, we come to a value around $41.65 million roughly, which is again near our assessed value. So the big thing that we are arguing right now is basically cap rates. And you'll see that the cap rate that we have from the comparable sales that we're gonna go down here, that was provided, we'll have a 4.35 and a 5.05% cap rate. Those are extracted from the market. And our cap rate that we used is 5%. So it's comparable to the sales that were extracted from the market and their paperwork. So ultimately what we're arguing are our cap rates. Everything else is kind of extraneous. And I think our cap rates are well supported. If you go to our sales, are well supported at 5%. Sorry if I breeze through that really quick. Carrie can add some additional insight if she would like.
I just like to raise the question, and you're saying it's extracted from the market from the two
right,
sales
the actual sales deals, yeah, that that was presented in the
the three sales that you presented. Is that correct?
No, the sales that the cap rates that I was looking at are the cap rates that were provided in the I'll show you here real quick in were used in the tax advisor's report at 4.35 and 5.05% in comparable one and comparable two. Those are actual cap rates extracted from the market, and which is comparable to the CoStar for 4 and 5 star properties at around 5.2%.
One thing to remember with the CoStar reports, that is reporting an average of all sales in the Vancouver, Clark County area. Regardless of location, size, we can do a little more analysis when we just look at the 4 and 5 star compared to the overall Vancouver area, and you do see a cap rate difference between those two. When Clark County does their cap rate study, we do have a little bit more strata that we use when we're breaking out these properties as far as size, age, location, things like that. And that's how we kind of come up with our cap rates that we are ending up using. So what Todd was saying, the two comparable sales that the appellant has used, his comparable one and comparable two, they have reported a 4.3% and a 5.05% cap rate. Those sales were from March of 2024, which are still relevant to a January 2024 assessed value. The next reported cap rate in his comparables is comparable 4, which happened May of 22, a little further out than we would want to go, but they were reporting a 4.89% cap rate. I typically wouldn't want to look at anything past a 2023 year just because the market has changed so much. So really, I would put the most weight on comparable 1 and comparable 2's cap rates, to kind of justify the cap rates that we in the assessor's office are using at the 5%. When you look at the appellant's income approach, he is using a 5.5% cap rate. And then he's also loading back in the tax rate. Like I said previously, CoStar is not unloading and loading. That is only something the assessor's office does because we don't include property taxes as part of an expense per an RCW with the state. And so what we do is we take the tax rate and we load it back in to the cap rate to get the value, that we are determining. So on, let's see, page 10 of his documentation, you'll see that our NOIs are very similar. He is reporting a $2,370,525 for his NOI that he's coming up with. And then he's using a 5.5% cap rate. That 5.5% cap rate is supported with CoStar data when you're looking at all of the sales in the Clark County area. It should probably be closer to a 5.2% cap rate, and then the tax rate should not be additionally loaded back in because CoStar is reporting property taxes including in their expenses. So you can't use a CoStar rate and also load back in a cap rate. That's why the assessor's office does our independent study as far as what market expenses are, what market cap rates are, and things like that, because it is something that just the assessor's office does, and it's a little confusing, but it all has to, it's all basically determined on this RCW that tells us we cannot expense our taxes when we come up with our values. So if you were to take his NOI of the $2,370,000 and use a 5.5% cap rate, you would come up with, if I could just share the screen. Todd, is it okay if I kind of take over the screen?
Yep, go ahead and took it off.
Okay. So if I share this screen, this is just a calculator that we kind of have, but I just wanted to show you that if we change this NOI to what he's reporting, and we put in that 5.2% cap rate, the value that would indicate is about $45 million. Now, I understand his NOI was not including the property taxes in his evaluation because he was then loading them back in with a cap rate. Over here, what I've done is I've taken his effective gross income and I've used a 35% operating expense to extract what that operating expense total should be, and then minused it from the operating expense to get a kind of a more reliable NOI, including those property taxes. So if we use this $2,054,81 as our NOI with a 5.2% cap rate, we're coming up right around the sales price. And if you looked at the market data that he was reporting on his If we look here at the market data that he was reporting with CoStar, right here, you'll notice that the market actually went up from his sales price, 5.5%, and then came back down 2.5%. So there is still a little growth in there of about 2.9%. So if you took his sales price of the $39 million and then increased it by the market increase of 2.9%, you get right around $40 million. So, you know, again, this is a generic look at the market. It's everything all together. Some properties that are smaller are going to move differently than properties that are bigger. Older properties move differently than newer properties. So this is just a overall number. We had not had a chance to look at his information. Again, we had requested it, but hadn't had a chance to actually look at it until just, you know, a couple days ago when we were preparing for this hearing. And so he did provide the financial information for, I'm sharing the screen of everyone. There you go. So as far as the NOI that he is using, if we were to include the property taxes in his expenses at a 5.2% cap rate, the value is very similar to what they purchased. And it actually kind of flows with what the market was doing. It went up 5.5%, came back down another 2.5%. So it hasn't completely gone under his sales price, but, you know, it is a little lower than what it was in 2022. So, but not completely back to under his sales price for a 2024 value. But it is a little confusing with that cap rate being loaded and unloaded. That is just an assessor's process. So we would never take CoStar cap rates and then again load that tax rate back into them. But I know that that's confusing. So if any of you have questions on that, I would love to answer that for you.
Well, I'd like to first know, how did you calculate the 4% cap rate?
So the overall cap rate should reflect what CoStar is reporting. Our overall cap rate is our cap rate that we're using plus the loaded tax rate.
No. How did you calculate the 4%? Because that's not on CoStar's chart.
It's not, because that's just an assessor thing. We need to look at our overall cap rate, which is the loaded cap rate. So CoStar is saying a cap rate is anywhere from 5% to 5.5%.
I don't care about that. I want to know how you calculated the 4%.
So we back off what is reported. So when we do our cap rate study, we're looking at the cap rates that are reported in the sales. Let's just take, for instance, the two cap rates that we had reported in sales one and sales two, 4.5% and 5%.
So and how did you calculate that?
That's reported from CoStar. Those cap rates that are being listed in comparable one and comparable two sales, that is reported from CoStar. CoStar verifies with the brokers. And they do a whole bunch of fact checking with the brokers, the sellers, the buyers, things like that. And then they report this information. We collect that information and then we do a study on it. So if our study is showing that a typical cap rate in the market is 5%, we use 5% and we back off the tax rate to come up with our cap rate, because when we load the tax rate back in, we need to be very similar to what market is. So if market is 5 and the tax rate is 10, then we know we need to be, you know, 10% under what the market cap rate is, because when we load it back in for our total cap rate, it needs to reflect what the market's reporting.
So you're taking a CoStar number and backing out taxes and then adding your taxes in. Is that correct?
Correct. The reason that we do it that way. And it is absolutely just a process with the assessor's office. It has nothing to do with the actual market cap rate, but our goal is to get our cap rate, when we look at the taxes being loaded back in, to a similar tax rate as, or cap rate as what CoStar is reporting, because that is market. So if CoStar is reporting a 5% cap rate in our system, because we load them with the tax rate, we have to be under, so that when we load the tax rate back in, our overall cap rate is very similar to market.
So what do you use as the amount that you back off of CoStar? How do you get that number?
That's the tax rate. So the tax rate is calculated by the taxes that are being paid versus the income that is being generated. So the tax rate is a percentage of the value of the property based on how much
that,
they're...
But where do you get that number?
Oh, well, that's a number that... No, that is... So every jurisdiction, every taxing jurisdiction has a tax rate on it. And so it's based on that tax rate. And it's based on...
You're taking a composite from CoStar, or you're taking specific sales?
So the tax rate has nothing to do with the sales. The tax rate has to do with the tax...
You're taking the cap rate from CoStar, and you're backing off a number. Is it specific to that property, or is it some average you're picking up somewhere?
It is based on the taxing jurisdiction that they're in.
So if you're using 1 and 2, you're using the Camas tax rate and you're using the Vancouver tax rate to back off for those specific properties.
They would be different. Yes. So
you're using the average of those two?
We would never be comparing Camas. When we do our studies, we base them on location. And so when we are in a reval situation and we're going and rebuilding these tables, we're looking at that properties that are in a similar area. And that's where we're developing.
But you stated you got your cap rate from those two properties.
No. I'm using sales 1 and sales 2 as an overall market comparison. So sales 1 and sales 2 are reporting in CoStar that their cap rate was 5% and 4.5%. That is their market cap rate. So when we look at our overall cap rate for our property, it is right in line with that 4.5% to 5%.
Got it.
So it's the overall cap rate.
You've done from information that you've gathered from CoStar.
Correct. From what the cap rate is. Yes. Our process in the background to unload it and then load it back in, that's just an assessor thing. Our goal is for our overall cap rate to be very similar to what CoStar is reporting. So we wouldn't take a CoStar reported cap rate and load taxes into it, because that makes the cap rate higher than what market is. So in the background, what the assessor's office has to do by law is we have to take the market cap rate, look at what that tax rate is, and then come up with the difference to use in our system. But really, we just need to be looking at the overall cap rate. The loading and unloading isn't necessarily even relevant. We need to look at the overall cap rate that we're using, which is at 5%. Does that 5% fit with what the market's cap rate is?
Any other questions, Terry or Lisa?
I just have one housekeeping thing. On the assessor's two responses, it'd be nice on the very first page, and you've always done this before, this is the first time, if you said, response from Clark County Assessor's Office, summary of pertinent data, because it took me to the very last page, and then I finally saw Carrie Dudley's name in there, and I thought, oh, this must be from the assessor's office. You've always put that in the past, but this time it just says summary of pertinent data. And I didn't know, started out thinking, well, who supplied this? And then at the very end, there's an email from you to somebody. And I thought, okay, I don't even think it's not in both packets. It's just in one of them. So then I thought,
well, yeah, that's really good information. When we load it into the BOE portal, it loads as assessors. So it's good for us to know when you guys print it out that you don't know where it's coming from. And so we should have that in the title.
We can add that on our side too. I can have
this is the first time that we've gotten something that there was nothing clearly stated where it was actually coming from. Usually it says, you know, response from Clark County Assessor's Office. That's just a housekeeping matter.
I have one comment to make, an error in the packet. If you look at your page 28, the printed page 28 at the bottom, it's just got that little short paragraph.
Yep. And yeah, so Todd had realized this after he submitted that data. We use a standard template when we're putting together
our... I know you included the page from the other unit. The other unit has the correct information in it. This for this unit.
Yes, this
blame that on the new guy.
We're still working out, you know. It's all a learning process, but he's doing a great job.
Just all right, we know it's the appraiser, not the assessor. That's a good one too. Peter might take it.
Oh yeah, sorry. Again.
Any rebuttal to this?
I certainly do. What the assessor's doing is they're using a 4% base cap rate. And there's no support for that anywhere in the market. I can tell you that, you know, prior to working at Tax Advisors, I was a certified general commercial appraiser. I worked at Integra and BBG in Portland. I had a specialization in multifamily and hospitality. I was doing a lot of new proposed construction. For new proposed construction, you do not know what the taxes are going to be. Because you're looking into the future. So we would do this loaded cap rate method for that. And in that, we would take a market extracted cap rate and we would add the tax load and we would base it on an NOI before real estate taxes, which is what we've done here. And that cap rate we've always used has been a market extracted cap rate. We would not take the cap rate and then take out the tax, decrease it by the tax rate, and then add a tax rate back in, which is what the assessor's done. It's just nonsensical to me. If you look at what we've done here, I'm sharing my screen again, and you can see we've not included any taxes. And because we've not included taxes, we have to include the tax load. This cap rate is a market cap rate. And say let's do it the other way. Let's not load the cap rate. Let's say we're going to project real estate taxes. Well, we know that the tax rate here is about 1%, and our value is $36,831,000. So if we did that, we would have taxes of about $370,000. So that gives us a nice round number of, so if we had taxes here, we'd have an NOI of $2 million. Let's take that NOI of $2 million and divide it by 5.5. So 0.055. You get a value of $36,363,000. So you've got a similar value there, slightly lower, but you can see what you know, what it does. And the assessor's methodology is completely wrong. These cap rates that are reported here, these are market-based cap rates. They're not saying, well, you got to...
They're market-based cap rates, but they include the property taxes.
I'm sorry, I'm talking. I've heard enough.
It's his turn. It's Greg's turn.
Sorry, I apologize.
And you would not... if you call a broker to confirm a sale, they're going to tell you what the cap rate is with, you know, all the expenses taken out. You're not going to ask them, well, what's the jurisdiction's tax rate and what would you load the cap rate by? They're just going to tell you a cap rate based on the NOI, and that's what this number is. So the fact that the assessor is using a 4% cap rate, it's not supported by anything that they said. They've said themselves they believe the cap rate's 5%, and they weighted based on two sales in the market, apparently. So apparently two sales make the market for cap rates here. So I would argue that you'd have to look at a much larger market, considering that we have decreased sales activity here. And the methodology that's employed by the assessor is wrong. We appeal taxes in many jurisdictions, and including King County, Multnomah County. They don't do it this way. They do it by taking the market reported cap rate and adding the tax load, which is what we've done here. That is incorrect what the assessor is doing.
Okay. I'd be curious, any response to Greg's opinion there?
I have a quick response. We're not only basing this on, you know, a cap rate. We're looking at the comparable sales in the area, and we're there. We've got three comparable sales that bracket our subject property's unit price. You know, so there's just several things. We can argue cap rate all day. It's a very confusing subject, and an overall cap rate is being used by the assessor's office of 5%, which when you look at the comparable sales, that's right in line with the cap rates that they used. So I can't get into the weeds of like why and how and all of this stuff. That's how it's done. The overall cap rate we're using is 5%. How we got there really doesn't matter. The cap rate we're using is 5%. CoStar's reporting 5.2%. So we're in the ballpark. When you look at the sales comparison and you look at our unit price, we're bracketed by three comparable sales. So, I mean, we're not just basing it on like one cap rate study. We do multiple studies and analyses on these properties to get to the values. And I don't know, Todd, if you wanted to add anything.
No, that's fine.
Thanks for the response.
Okay, I don't have any questions.
Okay. No further questions.
No further from me either.
Okay. Anything else anybody wants to make a comment on? We're okay. All right. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Close the hearing.